Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it became known that he was at home. Many gathered together so there was no longer room for them, not even around the door, and he preached the word to them. They came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Unable to get near Jesus because of the crowd, they opened the roof above him. After they had broken through, they let down the mat on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to him, "Child, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there asking themselves, "Why does this man speak that way? He is blaspheming. Who but God alone can forgive sins?" Jesus immediately knew in his mind what they were thinking to themselves, so he said, "Why are you thinking such things in your heart? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, pick up your mat, and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority even to forgive sins on earth," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your mat, and go home." He rose, picked up his mat at once, and went away in the sight of everyone. They were all astounded and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning to everybody. So I sometimes like to give titles to my homilies, and this is a title that all the old people here are going to recognize, and probably none of you will. "I Get By With a Little Help From My Friends." Has any of you ever heard that song? Only the oldies. Okay, used to be really popular, like, you know, back when dinosaurs roamed the earth. So what's going on in the gospel, there's actually a lot happening here, but I want to focus on these friends. Now you can think about this. Jesus was a preacher in the eyes of the people. I mean, we know that Jesus is actually God, but at the time, nobody knew that Jesus was God. He was just some guy who preached, and he did work miracles, so he was like a prophet. He was a miracle worker. His words were tremendously powerful, so people admired him. But they still just thought he was some ordinary human being that was really close to God. So, in light of this, you know, Jesus is sitting inside somebody's house. Now, in Capernaum, I've actually been to Capernaum. How many of you have been to Capernaum? Well, David Barton's been to Capernaum many times. He actually lives in Israel. Capernaum was just a small town, so there were probably, you know, a couple hundred people there. It would be like saying downtown Rye, that street, you know, Main Street, just Prospect, I guess it is, and just a couple of blocks around it, and that would be it. A few shops, a few things, and not a whole lot else. But nonetheless, so the houses were not that big. It's not like Rye where you've got some of these monster houses. Even the one I live in is a gigantic house. Okay? It's a small one-story house, and it was probably made of, you know, wood and grass and whatever they could get together just to keep the rain out. Nonetheless, there's this crowd, and Jesus is preaching, and there's hundreds of people around. And these guys have got their friend, and they want to bring him to Jesus so that he can heal them, because they have faith. Probably the paralytic himself has faith, but these friends have the faith that if we can just bring this guy to Jesus, and he can pray over him and touch him, this man will be cured. So what do? They can't get through the crowd. They actually find that they go around the back way of the house, climb up over the roof, pick up their friend. Now imagine if somebody does this to your house. You know, it breaks through the roof of your house. Imagine you've got somebody important in your house. I don't know. Who's the girl that sings that everyone listens to right now? She dates Travis Kelce. Taylor Swift. Imagine Taylor Swift is in your living room and everyone wants to see Taylor Swift, and somebody climbs up into your roof and breaks through your roof and comes into your living room and lowers their friend down because he's paralyzed and he can't get a glimpse of Taylor Swift unless they break through the roof. You would be like, "What are you doing? Call the police, you guys. First of all, you owe me a lot of money and there's chaos." It was just something totally inconceivable. But these guys understood. The only thing that's really important in our lives is God. The only thing that's really going to matter at the end of our lives is God. And they understood that I have a friend, and the only way that this friend can possibly be cured is that this man, Jesus, who is close to God, prays with him, and he's the only hope for salvation. So they were willing to do absolutely anything. Could you guys imagine having friends like that? Friends that would go do absolutely anything for you. If they knew that you were in need, would go out of their way, even if they didn't care what anybody else thought about them, even if they had to get other people angry in order to help you out. Those are the kind of friends that we need, right? Now here's the thing. Like I said earlier, the only one thing that in our lives that really at the end of our lives is going to be important is God. What does that mean? When I used to live in the Philippines, you know, Philippines is a country where you've got people that live in neighborhoods like Rye, and then you have literally people living on the streets, or people living just, you know, in these little smelly neighborhoods and everything. There are actually children that are born in this one particular garbage dump. Like, they live there, they are raised there, and their entire life is just collecting plastic and stuff to recycle and see if they can get enough money to eat. So imagine that. Well, when I used to live over there, I would tell the kids, you could be like the combination of Taylor Swift and, I don't know, some other totally rich person. At the time, it was Michael Jackson, because he was super, super famous at the time, and Barack Obama and Bill Gates all rolled into one. So like the richest guy in the world, the president of the United States, and, you know, a famous singer and dancer. You could have all of that and all together rolled into one person and be like this incredibly successful human being. And if you don't go to heaven, you're a failure. And I used to tell the kids, if you were one of those kids that's born in the garbage dump and lives his whole life collecting plastic and tin cans and stuff in the garbage dump, and that's all he knows, and he goes to heaven, he's a success. He succeeded in the only one thing that really matters at the end of our lives. And these friends in this gospel story, they got it. They understood the one thing that really matters is that I bring my friend to encounter Jesus. So what is that going to look like for you and me? How can you and I bring our friends to encounter Jesus? Well, I'm going to give you one real simple suggestion that everybody here can do. Excuse me while I'm dying. When was the last time you prayed for your friends? When was the last time you just simply, before you go to bed, say a prayer and say, Jesus, help my friends to know you better. Help my friends to be saints. Help my friends to live their life the way that you want them to live it. That was actually kind of the beginning of my priesthood. I wasn't thinking about my friends, but when I was a college kid, I remember it just suddenly started occurring to me. I said, okay, what would be the most important thing I can do? Well, the most important thing I can do is help people get to heaven. So I started praying that God would help all those people out there in the world, whether or not I ever meet them, who need my prayers so that they can get to heaven. And that's how I started, and look what happened to me a few years later. I ended up here. So there's no better thing that we can do for our friends than to pray for them and to help them to know Jesus. We all get by with little help from our friends. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.